This is a Hat Trick
podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Welcome to In the News This Week, the podcast from some of the team who've worked on Have I Got News For You.
I'm Emerald Paston.
I'm Mike Raymond.
I'm Queenie Miller.
And I'm Jack Harris.
We'll be taking you through the big and not so big stories in the news this week when the TV show can't.
Think of it like this. If the main show is the halftime Super Bowl performance, then we're Barry from EastEnders performing at the Lawn Bowls.
I know which I'd rather see.
We all loved it.
Yeah, it was great.
It was good.
Are we talking about Barry or the Super Bowl?
Did you actually stay up and watch it, Jack?
Well, it's not really staying up for me because...
Oh, shit. Are you in New York?
I'm actually in America.
Oh, my God.
You set him up for that, Queenie.
It was on 6:30 until 10:30. It's a very long game. It's quite fun to watch all the adverts as they're actually happening.
You know they get recorded first, the adverts.
Oh, they went live?
Jack, on a scale of 1 to the Iraq War, how annoying were Americans around the Super Bowl in America? So they take it very seriously.
They do. I think in the UK, we think it's worse because when you speak to a British American football fan, they're kind of insufferable, aren't they?
It's like their life.
Yeah.
I've fortunately never met one.
Oh, wow.
They'll be very happy to tell you all the rules.
Great.
And how they know who this next player is going to be really good and stuff like that because they all play drafts.
They play drafts?
Not the game drafts. Oh. They are part of a draft, like a
Vietnam
fantasy football league. I went to a Super Bowl party. There was good food.
Oh, that's what you want.
Is there like a common food that is had at all the Super Bowl parties?
Well, have you ever had this before? My friend Steve made a buffalo cheese chicken dip.
I've had buffalo chicken in Buffalo.
Was it in a cheese dip though, Emerald?
It was like a blue cheesy thing, I think.
Yeah, basically it was just a big tray of cheese and chicken. It was great.
Like a trough.
It was a trough.
People just lower their head between touchdowns.
I mean, as exciting as the Super Bowl is, we need to move on to round one, where we will discuss the big story of the week, the surge of reform. A lot of the weekend papers were talking about a couple of polls these last few weeks about them becoming more popular. And Labour and the Tories have started to panic a little bit. They're trying to work out how they can stop this kind of surge of Farage.
Is it a surge? What would you call it? A surge? A splurge?
This Farage front?
A dribble of Farage?
Oh my God.
A dribble of Farage.
I like to think of it like you have like a hole in your roof. It's like a dampening.
Oh, a dampening
it's just,
of
it's
Farage.
Something slightly like inconvenient that's spreading out from the corner of your ceiling. And you know you should get a specialist in to look at it.
But instead of getting a specialist, Labour and Tories are like, how can we be a better mould in this case?
How can we have more damp in this country?
Yeah.
Labour really have taken a shit with their clothes on. Like, I was just looking through the list of all these things. There's this WhatsApp group that I know we're going to talk about. And the ineptitude of Starmer, Wes Streeting the other week was laying into people on benefits. They were filming a video of migrants being deported to use to be like, look how good we're doing. And it's just like, if you go back a year ago, you could swap out all these headlines and put in Tory, you know, Sunak or any of his cabinet, and it'll be exactly the same. And I'm not saying it's easy, but Labour said they were going to hold themselves to a higher account. And I know we said before, but they really have not helped themselves.
They've kind of admitted that they haven't really done anything in the last 6 months or 7 months, because that was their strategy for the general election, was like, don't really do anything. And then you can't really go wrong.
Do you know what? That was my strategy for my A-levels.
So how did they go, Mike?
It went really badly.
They're kind of doing less than nothing, though. They're making things worse.
Well, no, this is their change of tact, Queenie, now.
Switched.
They've said that they,
are they really smart?
No, they've been so impressed by basically Trump and the way that he's got all his stuff done so quickly that they now basically they want to emulate Trump in order to try and pacify Nigel Farage. They've got this new, it's coming back, it's been there before, but they're calling themselves Blue Labour.
No.
They're all about faith, flag and family. And you kind of think, okay, it's interesting, they're going to take this tact. And the founder is this guy called Lord Glassman. He got invited to Trump's inauguration by J.D. Vance, who's very interested in Blue Labour. You think, okay, all right, that's not the best sign. And when he was out there, he got a gift of cowboy boots, which actually is quite fine. I'm quite jealous of that. But he hung out with Steve Bannon.
Oh, God.
Trump's former aides. Apparently, Bannon is set to come to the UK and see some of the Blue Labour MPs.
He gave him a present as well, actually. It was like this headgear. It's like this sort of hood, and it's white. And then it goes really well with the cowboy boots.
But you still think that if that's the thing they're pointing towards, to be like, oh, yeah, this is the thing that's going to help us. They're trying to like out Farage.
Did you see the leaflet they did?
I didn't see it. What was it?
Oh, because obviously got the local elections coming up and Labour are going to get a hammering. So they've done it in the same blue and white and black as the Reform logo. And it says, Labour hits five-year high in migrant removal. And it's basically trying to make it look like a Reform leaflet praising Labour. Oh, and again, this is the sort of thing the Tories were doing this time last year and in the build-up to the election, and the sort of thing that Keir Starmer was being very po-faced about.
This makes no sense. Because like, if you're a voter who actually wants everything that Farage is saying, you're going to go for the strong leader who's saying that, not the person who's pretending to believe that to get you to vote for them.
Yeah.
So I don't understand in what world this makes sense.
I just feel like the polls are really confusing right now because, yes, they're all saying that Reform is kind of pushing ahead or doing better than we would have expected. But then there's another poll that YouGov has just released that's saying that basically when you compare Keir Starmer to every other leader in turn, he's always coming out on top.
Mm.
And in fact, Ed Davey, I think, comes ahead of Nigel Farage as well. So I'm just very confused by polling and the public.
If I was doing a YouGov poll, I'd just be checking any box, to be honest. No, it doesn't really make any difference.
Just getting through to your free voucher.
Yeah.
If they held an election now, Labour would get 200 or something seats, Conservatives get 190, but Reform would get 102. And you're like, that's kind of wild. And they also mentioned that Lib Dems would get 70. So like, basically, Labour and Conservatives couldn't form their own government on the number they've got. So they'd have to form a coalition. So if I was the Lib Dems, I'd be going full in on Farage. I'd be supporting him because it means that you're almost definitely going to get coalition, right, if it comes to a general election. Because
how
they can't...
would that coalition work?
They just make a lot of TikToks.
Oh, no. Yeah. I don't, not Lib Dem with Reform.
Oh, I was going to say, that's like Winnie the Pooh with Sauron.
No, if they push Reform to go higher, that means that it takes stuff from Labour Conservatives and then they can go there, which you kind of think, Ed Davey, absolutely love it.
It's also interesting that Labour's not really doing anything because I understand why the Tories aren't doing anything. After taking that much of a loss, you kind of can't be coming out with any policies because no one's listening and no one cares until it gets closer to that next election cycle. There was an article today where a couple of anonymous MPs were like, Kemi Badenoch hates doing media. And what she should be doing is like getting a clip on the news every night. Or eating a sandwich, I don't know.
Yeah, they said in opposition, you have to turn up to the opening of an envelope, which again, I was thinking, Ed Davey comes to mind. He'd be there, wouldn't he?
And he'd be really earnest about it.
Like a shot.
My favourite quote from that was, I saw someone said, Kemi Badenoch needs to show up to more things. With the best will in the world, voters don't know who Chris Philp is and they don't care what he says. And to prove this point, I thought the journalist had made a typo and was trying to write Chris Philip and I Googled it. But his name's Chris Philp.
Oh, you didn't know, proving the journalist's point there.
Again, we talk about Starmer kind of facing trouble from Farage, but did anyone see Angela Rayner at the weekend? Showing how close she was to Keir, how much she backs him.
Oh,
I think it's another quote of hers, right?
She did not deny the fact that she said that Starmer was incapable of running a bath.
Yeah.
So you want is your right-hand woman.
And she also didn't deny the Prince Andrew comment that was reported as well.
That nonce. Yeah. I mean, no, it's probably a smart thing because there's probably quite a lot of proof that she did say it.
Yeah.
Although I noticed she was out with her and Keir Starmer. They were out with King Charles because he's really into housing. So they went to King Charles' like favourite housing estate and got him to go around it and talk about like a nice estate.
Oh, I was going to say, it was like the king picked out his
not Peckham,
his favourite one.
No, but like, but I just thought there's a lot of pictures of Angela Rayner walking around with Charles. And one where they're like, having a bit of a laugh and it looks like Charles is saying to her, like, did you really call him that nonce? But they're getting in a bit of heat for that because then they've announced a raft of housing measures and people have said they've done it on purpose to drag the king into it so that it makes it harder for people to complain about it.
Oh, right.
Because it would chop their heads off and take their swans away.
King's got a lot of houses. He could give some.
And William.
I think one thing, obviously, that they have been trying to do as a party is flex their sexist and racist abilities by setting up WhatsApp groups, obviously.
Mm.
Labour MP Andrew Gwynn was sacked. He's the junior minister, health minister.
I think there was a second one as well.
Oliver Ryan.
He's just been suspended, hasn't he? Yeah.
And the group they're in is called Trigger Me Timbers. And I just think any group chat that has a joke about triggering in 2025... I just think you should delete WhatsApp.
They're MPs. It's like,
yeah,
come on, guys, you know what's going to happen.
How do they not know better?
I know one of them wasn't an MP when he joined the group, but the other one, Andrew Gwynn, said he wanted a cyclist to be run over in his constituency and stuff like that, and he wanted like an old lady to die. And you just think,
she complained about something.
Again, it's the same thing they were hammering the Tories for for being out of touch and callous.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that was quite good about the Andrew Gwynn story was that he tweeted out an apology. And, you know, he obviously meant the apology because he said, I deeply regret my badly misjudged comments and apologise for any offence I've caused. He spelt comments with three M's. So he didn't even proofread his apology. No. So obviously he's thought long and hard about it.
I've got a question for you guys. Have you got a group you're in? Obviously not that's as bad as that, but if your WhatsApp was released, what's the worst damage that could happen?
Honestly, my mum has sent some of the most libelous things I've ever read in my life. No, I'm joking. Of course not. Of course.
Your poor mum. I've met your mum and she's a delight. I want the nation to know that.
It's always the ones you least expect.
Mike, do you reckon you'd be embarrassed if the Warhammer WhatsApp group messages did get leaked and people could see the sort of in-depth Warhammer knowledge that you were sharing?
What are you about to do, Jack?
No.
it sounded like you were blackmailing
him. It sounded like you were about to leak it.
I haven't seen anything. Yeah. You'd be loud and proud, Mike, wouldn't you?
You can't hurt me anymore.
No, anymore.
Hey guys, I might have mentioned this before, but I'm in America at the moment.
Here we go. Yeah, once or twice.
One of the things that was super helpful for me last time I was here was getting NordVPN on my laptop. A VPN is a virtual private network, which basically means it encrypts your online activity and hides your IP address. So it means you're protected from any third parties trying to access your personal information.
And I use it when I'm out the country, so I know when I log on anywhere on a public Wi-Fi network, I'm protected online.
What's the time there at the moment? I'm working on Eastern Standard Time. East Coast, baby. So you're probably nearly asleep, right? That makes sense. You didn't react to my whole America thing. You're just tired.
Oh yeah, totally. Definitely the time difference.
To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/in the news.
Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan, and there's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee.
You can find the link in the podcast episode description box.
Welcome back to In the News This Week. It's round two now, where you've each bought a news item from the past week, which you think would work best for round two of the show. So, Queenie, first up, what have you got for us this week?
I have some very sad news, guys.
Oh, no.
The National Poo Museum in Sandown, Isle of Wight, which their slogan is, have you been, is closing after 9 years.
That was short tenure.
But in order to become a touring exhibition.
Okay.
So they're taking turds on tour, basically.
They've got a port-a-loo.
Floating it around the UK.
I'm sure that's how they're going to do it. Thames Water's sponsoring. The idea for the museum devoted to the output, is what's put here, output of practically every species on Earth, came to Daniel Roberts, the curator, when he almost stepped in a lynx dropping during a walking holiday in Sweden.
That feels like he's just using that story to flex the fact that he was walking in Sweden.
With lynxes.
Yeah. To be fair, I think people have started religions based on a lot less than that. So I'm happy he started a museum. Since 2018, it's been housed in a former public lavatory, but Roberts has decided that now it's time to take his poo collection around the country. It's Britain's only museum dedicated to poo, which I was surprised by.
Can I just fact check that, though? Because it's not Britain's biggest collection of turds, because that's the House of Lords.
Well, no. There's a vast display of poo illuminated in resin spheres, including fossilized dinosaur poo, alongside a wealth of toilet-based displays.
Are they all in resin spheres? Like, in Jurassic Park style, we're going to extract the DNA from...
Yeah.
It would be a very different film, wouldn't it?
I haven't seen Jurassic Park.
Oh, my God.
What?
You've not seen Jurassic Park?
To be fair, they do have a poo moment in that film, now I think of it.
When the girl falls into the poo, is that what it is?
There's, like, huge poos.
Yeah, I've seen the first one ages ago, I think. The toilet scene with the T-Rex.
The first one?
That's the main
Jurassic
one.
Just the film.
There's loads of Jurassic Park.
I know there's these pretenders that come along. But
you've hit a real, like, millennial nerve here. Yeah.
Never tell a man you've never seen Jurassic Park.
Okay, I'm going to go back. Where can we visit the Poo Museum?
Well, it's going around the country now.
But has it got, like, a list of dates? Is it, like, Wembley, Watford Town Hall?
You can email in a request to get them to come to you.
What?
Which I'm doing immediately.
That'd be the greatest prank to send them to someone else's house.
Valentine's Day is coming up, guys.
Are you going to invite them round?
I'm never going to let them leave. I'm never going to let them leave.
I feel like we have advertised this Poo Museum, so he can pay us later. Okay, Mike, what's your round two story?
Okay, from poo to a pile of rubbish.
Oh.
I don't know if you've heard this guy, James Howe. He's trying to buy a rubbish tip in South Wales. And the reason he's trying to buy this rubbish tip is because in the tip is a bag belonging to James that contains over £600 million worth of bitcoins.
Oh, I'm so excited hearing this story, Mike.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
So just to give you the full story, back in 2000, so he's a very talented computer engineer. In fact, he was even said to be one of only five people mining Bitcoin in the world when it first came out. So he amassed this load of Bitcoin, and obviously it wasn't worth as much back then. It took so much processing power, it actually melted down his laptop, but he saved the hard drive. Wow. And he put it in this old bag, and then there was a mix-up. Now, this is the greatest quote. He originally had the Bitcoin on an old hard drive that he kept in a black bag, but disaster struck, and this is a quote from The Guardian, when his then-partner mistook it for rubbish and took the bag to the dump.
Oh, no.
Very lot of emphasis on then. Partner. And it's now obviously grown in value, and over the years he's been trying to speak to the council about getting it back, and initially they were sort of helpful, and then I think have shut him down. He took them to court and he lost the case last year because he wanted to force them to let him search the tip for the Bitcoin, because he said, oh, if you let me go in, I'll give 30% of the value of the coins to you to give to people, which would mean everyone in the area would have got like 175 quid each.
Wow.
It's not bad. It's not.
Yeah.
But they've now said, oh no, since the bag came into the dump, it's ours. We own it. We do what we want with it. And it's not safe to excavate. But the reason the story's been reignited is they've now said they're going to close down the rubbish tip and they're going to seal it over.
So good.
Because they said it's at capacity. Wow. So now he's trying to drum up interest and get investors to help come in with him and buy the tip. So then
they are definitely
it.
Just closing that down to piss him off. There's there's no reason.
Part of their argument for him, because he was like, look, I know exactly where it's going to be. I've worked it out. I've done all this analysis to say it's in this 3x3 meter spot within the dump. And the council said, no, this is too important to close. Like, we can't shut it down in order for you to search it. And now they turn around and be like, yeah, we're closing it. So they've done completely opposite.
He's really annoyed.
I have a couple of things to say. He can't be that talented and brilliant if he lost a,
I was just thinking
a
that.
Bag and a tip. Mm. And how the hell does he know where it is? I don't understand that, the logistics of that.
So they know the exact bag and the exact day, and because of where they put the rubbish.
But it's been years now, so
yeah, but they organise it. Yeah, well, it's gone deeper.
I was just going to say, I don't think I fully comprehended the physical mining of Bitcoin. I thought it was all just like, you know how stocks aren't real? Mm. I thought it was like that.
No, they've got like, they're basically, you get these tiny little people that go into your laptop and they they climb down and go into the Bitcoin mine.
So what Thatcher was trying to stop.
It's Trevor from EastEnders, you know, he's in Chernobyl. It's just a tiny naked man getting inside your PC going, I'll get you a Bitcoin for you.
That is such a niche reference, Mike, but I love it.
I think it's going to bang on the listeners of this podcast, to be fair.
That Venn diagram, I think, is actually quite a big overlap of people who will know Trevor from EastEnders and Chernobyl.
By the way, you all glossed over the fact I said stocks aren't real. They are.
I don't think they are.
I don't fully understand them.
Oh, none of us know. Okay, cool.
Emerald, what story do you have this week?
I have a food-related story for us this week.
Oh, wow.
This is the story that scientists have discovered how to cook the perfect boiled egg.
Well, on their lunch break?
It would be kind of hard to, because it takes 32 minutes to do it properly.
No.
Yeah.
32 minutes?
Yeah.
I'm so
on board. Wait till you hear what it involves. It's research from the University of Naples Federico II, and they've discovered that the best technique is called periodic cooking. And it involves switching between boiling water and a bowl of water kept at 30 degrees. And you do it every 2 minutes for a total of 32 minutes. And then your egg is perfect.
It's like when you go to a hot spa and you can't stay in the hot one too long and you have to go into the cold one.
Exactly.
I don't want the time it takes to boil my egg to potentially risk it hatching. It's literally so long. Like, that is not
It does
vibe.
Sound like you're incubating it, doesn't it?
How are they defining this to be perfect, by the way?
Well, this is how they describe it. They said it will produce the optimal balance between a firm white and a creamy yolk. But I don't think a creamy yolk sounds that nice.
Do you not? That's the best
thing. No, I like it like runny.
I don't know if everyone knows the extent to which I'm obsessed with eggs. I'm a former vegan
who's
been eating loads of eggs this year, and they're so good. So basically, I'm so thrilled that you brought this up.
Are you going to be testing this out?
Wow, you've got to try it, Queenie.
I would do anything to try that egg, which means I would do that method.
32 minutes is insane. And it's not even 32 minutes that you can just leave it and do its thing.
Well, they did actually ask one of the co-authors of the study if the labour required justified the final result. And she said, "I'm not really the best person to answer this question as I don't really like eggs."
Brilliant.
Which blew my mind. Why is she? But
that's a fantastic
story. How does she know whether it's a good egg or not?
Yeah, why would she decide to be a part of that?
She's the perfect person
to
judge
that. I'll take
her place. She's got no skin in the game. She's incorruptible.
Exactly.
Why have they done this, Emerald?
Okay, well, actually, some of the articles did a bit more digging. And the scientists that published the study, they did it to try and explain their day jobs to other researchers. And they actually normally spend their time combining different materials, typically polymer foams, for industry. So I think it's a marketing ploy for big foam. I think that's what this book
they're
down
in the pocket
to.
Of big foam.
Yeah, I think so.
Comfy pocket, though. To be
fair. True.
Queenie, are you actually going to do this?
Yes. I've never been more serious about anything in my life.
So I would like the feedback on next week's podcast, please.
The result is that I'm going to do it badly.
I'm going to say you're going to get 6 minutes and you get bored and then you're trying to eat that.
Okay, I'm definitely doing it now. You've said I'm not going to.
And finally, it's time for round three, the missing words round. I'm going to read out some recent headlines and you just need to fill in the missing words. So...
Lovely.
If you don't care about American sports, then what is for you?
Having a high IQ.
Netball?
A balanced worldview.
All good guesses. The actual answer is, if you don't care about American sports, then the superb owl is for you.
Oh.
I don't know if you've seen this, but basically, this is year 9 now of the superb owl, which is essentially a misspelling that happened, but it's really taken off, where people who don't want to watch the Super Bowl just talk about owls.
It's the American version of Sue's anal bum party.
It is exactly that, Mike. Or Sue's album party, as some might read it.
So that was one of the famous early great hashtags. As a Susan Boyle
was
having an album launch, and they used the hashtag Susan album party, and everyone just read it as Sue's anal bum party.
Congratulations to Michael Ronid on Twitter, who made us laugh with their response to this missing word round when they said, if you don't care about American sports, then the next tariff is for you. And he is kind of speaking our language because tariffs are sexy and we love to hear about them.
Mm.
Next up, Australian politician changes his name to what?
Didgeridoo.
Noel Edmonds.
Oh, is it one of those where it's like, none of the above.
It's been cheeky. Mm-hmm. Now, the answer is Australian politician changes his name to Aussie Trump. So his name was Ben Dawkins, and he's officially changed
his name. I
changed
my name too.
would you change it to Austin Trump, though?
From
Queenie?
Ben Dawkins, yeah.
Austin or Aussie?
Austin Trump, which he is Aussie dubbing himself as Aussie Trump.
Oh.
You can't make up a new name for yourself and then shorten it just for votes, sorry.
He said he did it as a political protest against the tyranny and systematic corruption of the Australian government. So obviously he's done it as a homage to the most well-known anti-tyrannical and anti-corruption figure in politics, Donald Trump.
To be fair, that's actually one of the most highbrow things to happen in Australian politics sometime.
And last, but obviously not least, couple enjoying a walk in the woods stop to what?
Dog.
Oh, Queenie.
Oh, wow.
Mucky brain straight in here.
Oh.
To have a lovely time, maybe, Queenie?
I was saying that.
Pick up some new poo for the Poo Museum. Ooh,
they're curators. I like it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really disappointed Queenie took it there and took it down a mucky route. The actual answer is, couple enjoying a walk in the woods stop to find sex pictures stuck to a tree. It was mucky. It was mucky all along.
Queenie was along the right lines.
So normally on the show, this is one that's probably on the edge. We wouldn't go too mucky, but the word sex pictures is very funny.
Yeah.
Not six pictures. I don't think that would make the news if someone found six pictures in the woods. It's actually sex pictures, which equally probably shouldn't be in the news either.
So wait, were they going out specifically to find them or they just so they chanced across them and it became a headline?
So this is the thing. The couple in question, they sound a slightly suspect, if I'm honest.
Oh, no.
No, really.
They were on a walk and they said they were there bold as brass, those pictures, really showing off. But they said that they looked like they'd been there for some time as they were fading. So they sort of discovered these old sex pictures.
Why is this news?
And
you should go for a walk anywhere in Southeast London.
But they said we stopped off to have some tomato soup.
Sure they did.
We found a spot out of the wind and walked towards some bushes.
This is very specific. Oh my God.
Are they in the pocket of Big Soup?
Big Soup.
The soup's an unnecessary detail. Is this going to turn out?
Well, no, the soup is definitely like you've been caught and you've had to say...
We were doing something perfectly wholesome.
Yeah.
I think I was right with my original guess.
It's something wonderfully nostalgic about this story. I'll say it as you guys are a bit younger, but pre-internet.
You'd have like, your sex picture tree that you go to, wouldn't you, Mike?
Well, not far off. Everyone of my age or older had a friend who had an older brother who claimed that there was a bush somewhere where nudie pictures would be left under.
Turns out that somewhere was Manchester.
Yeah, so I think it's probably left over from a more innocent time, yeah.
Happy and nostalgic for the old times.
Yeah, it makes you feel warm inside.
I'm tearing up now.
Thank you for listening to In The News This Week. If you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
For updates on the show, make sure you're following Have I Got News For You on Instagram, TikTok and Twitter.
You can also get in touch with us by emailing podcasts@hattrick.com. That's Hattrick with 2 T's.
Make sure you're followed and subscribed to the podcast wherever you're listening to it now. And we'll see you here for next week's episode. Bye.
Bye.
Mike, don't go to that tree just yet, mate.
In The News This Week is presented by Jack Harris, Queenie Miller, Emerald Pass, and Mike Raymond. The producer is Diggory Waite. The executive producer is Claire Broughton. And the music is by Big George. In The News This Week is a Hattrick podcast.